And Mr. Kenny Walker, you may approach and begin your argument.
Good morning. Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the court. I am Robert Kenny Walker, and I represent the appellants in this matter today before this court. There's lots of complexity to this matter, but in the end, all appellants seek from this court is the appellants seek their own day in court on the underlying merits, the underlying issue of compensability on this old workers' compensation matter. This is a long and complicated case dating all the way back to a 2001 alleged workers' compensation injury. The court will see from the record, the appellants clearly had long accepted this matter, paid extensive benefits to and on behalf of the injured worker, the appellee for a good number of years, well over a decade. The parties filed an indemnity-only settlement with the trial court in 2016. That matter was approved by the trial court in related order in 2016, and a couple of years later, two or three years later, in 2019, the appellant took another look at this matter, changed its position, disputed the underlying compensability, denied ongoing benefits, which resulted in a flurry of litigation culminating in this appeal today.
How is it that the appellee can be allowed to change its position when it's already entered into a stipulated agreement?
How can the appellant change its position, Your Honor?
Yes.
Well, Your Honor, and the appellants respectfully submit that that's the central question in this matter, is what happened in 2016? What are the legal consequences of that order? The appellant's position is that that order in 2016 did not determine the underlying compensability of the matter. Perhaps that's what this court determined. That's obviously the appellee's position. But for all the reasons discussed in the brief, discussed here today, the appellants respectfully submit that all that happened in 2016, the appellant's position is all that happened legally in that settlement process, the application, the order, was the employer traded cash for an indemnity release. That's it. Did not determine underlying compensability, did not determine medical, did not determine ongoing medical.
But it determined, didn't the court say that there would be ongoing medical that that your client would be responsible for?
Well, and of course, Your Honor, I concede that language that Your Honor is referring to in the 2016 order is not the ideal language for my client's position. I wish it were not there. It is. But when the court...
But your client didn't appeal that language at the time that was entered.
Correct, Your Honor.
Okay.
And as the court recalled from the briefs, my clients do not dispute that 2016 order is final and binding. What my client challenges is what that 2016 order means legally. So for all the reasons my client submits, respectfully, it takes the position that order did not determine compensability. When the court reviews the entirety of the record, I think there's enough ambiguity in the entirety of the record for this court to say, reversed, we want the trial court to conduct a hearing on the merits of the underlying compensability issue. For many reasons, one important issue being, if there's anything to balance in this case, perhaps the court finds there's not enough to balance, and that order determines it, compensability is settled. But if there's enough to balance, this court should come down on the side of granting a trial on the merits to the appellant.
If there was a trial on the merits, then is everything reopened? Is your client on the hook for more than the $310,000 that they paid as part of that settlement?
I would not take that position, Your Honor. My client does not dispute that the indemnity is...
So that's a done deal.
Correct.
But the other part's not.
And as I discussed in the briefs, I don't think there's anything in the Nebraska Workers' Compensation Act that prevents the parties, the employer, from disputing compensability and settling indemnity. And so the appellant's position is that's what happened. They obviously, for many years, they didn't dispute compensability as an accepted case. But now, yes, my client's position is they can dispute compensability, and they're not trying to claim that the 2016 order or settlement was perpetuated by fraud or that it's not binding or anything. My client's position is indemnity is done. But obviously, the unique nature of workers' compensation, there's indemnity, there's medical. The trial court trial court found that my client had ongoing liability for medical-related medical expenses. And so, yes, the short answer is my client's position is it's disputing only the medical portion going forward, not any indemnity issues. Thank you, Your Honor.
Disputing it now, but not disputing it 10 years ago.
20 years ago.
20 years ago.
Yes, Your Honor.
See a problem with that argument?
Well, obviously this court might find a problem, but again, to me the central issue is what did that 2016, this case obviously has a long history. There was a trial in 2011. I mean, one way this court could decide the issue, I don't think it would be proper when reading the 2013 Supreme Court opinion. And I think Appelli's argument is the stipulations that were entered into in that 2011 trial, whatever the date was, those became final. I think reading the procedural history, that's not the case. I don't think any stipulations, I can see there's many ways this court could rule against my client. It could say that the 2016 order is a stipulated award. It could say that the trial court did not abuse its discretion in refusing my client the ability to amend its old admissions from 2010. It could say that the stipulations in the 2011 trial are final and binding. But for all the reasons discussed in my brief, I think there's enough reasons. Let's also focus on the prejudice to the employer if it's not granted at state court. Obviously, Appelli claims prejudice if my client's successful on this appeal. But what about the prejudice to the employer if this matter is indeed was not compensable, and it entered into all of these stipulations, orders in error? Maybe that's my client's fault. But I think the law generally errs on the side of granting parties their day in court, and that's all my client requests here.
What about the admissions that were made? Doesn't that resolve the compensability issue?
Well, if this court determines that the trial court did not abuse its discretion in preventing my client from withdrawing those, but my client did not withdraw those admissions for a long time. Whenever those admissions were made in 2010, it tried to withdraw them in 2019. I think looking at the applicable law, errors on the side of allowing my client to withdraw those. I don't think the prejudice that the discovery rules discuss lean against allowing my client to withdraw those. So obviously it's not a favorable standard for my client, but again, my client rests on the position of the law errs on the side of allowing the litigants their day in court, and obviously if those admissions are allowed to stand, it's a done issue.
So we would have to find that the court abused its discretion in not allowing your client to withdraw those admissions 9 years later.
Correct, Your Honor.
Okay.
And leading to another point, as this court is aware, the Nebraska Workers' Comp, another reason this court should allow a trial to go forward on the underlying merits, Nebraska Workers' Compensation Law encourages employers to accept underlying claims, likely for the reason so that injured workers receive prompt medical care. But the flip side to that is it's well-established black letter law in Nebraska that voluntary payments are not an admission of liability. In other words, the law encourages employers to accept, but then the law also makes it easy and no penalty for the employer changing its position upon new evidence and denying ongoing liability. So, here, I would respectfully submit that the whole, obviously there's problematic issues for my client, but on the whole, my client should not be penalized for its long acceptance of the matter, because the law wants to encourage employers to promptly accept and then be able to change its position. But the court...
Well, counsel, I mean, doesn't this have, I mean, it seems to me that we're, I mean, I know this is a workers' comp case, but... But if we're saying, well, you can change your mind after 15 years, let's say it's a tort case where somebody's paying a settlement over a period of 20 or 30 years, did they get a change of mind halfway through? Well, we really weren't liable for that accident 15 years ago. And so we should be able to relitigate it. Isn't that kind of what you're asking us to do here?
Well, I see where the court is coming from. But on the other hand, of course, workers' compensation is unique and is different from tort. And yeah, I don't think, may I finish, Your Honor?
You can finish, Your Honor.
I did not find really any case law discussing these bifurcated settlements. And so it's part of the unique nature of workers' compensation where, okay, so the parties here are settled in indemnity. My client doesn't dispute that. Indemnity is done. But what does that mean with the ongoing medical? So obviously here, the parties settled indemnity back in 2016, and my client continued to pay medical for a number of years. And obviously, Pelley's position is my client's going to be paying medical benefits for another 20 years. So it's different in the sense that, and obviously, every medical bill can be challenged. You know, if the injured worker submits a bill for a flu medical visit, then my client would dispute that. It's only, of course, so unique nature of, I would respectfully submit it's distinguishable, Your Honor, and that workers' compensation can, by its very nature, continue forever.
Thank you.
And that, I would respectfully request the court reverse and remand for the trial. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Please add to the appellee's time, however much we went over.
Yes, Your Honor. It will be 1 minute and 1 minute.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank
All right.
You,
and you are Ms. Forsgren?
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay.
Thank you. Good morning, Judge, Your Honors, and may it please the Court. My name is Danielle Forsgren, and along with my colleague, Ronald Frank, we represent the appellee, Mr. Adam Lowell-Strand, in this case. Now, we've heard a lot about the arguments the appellants are making in this case, but this case boils down to one specific issue. Can a party back out of the settlement agreement and relitigate the case from day one? That answer is simply no. The appellants will tell you they deserve their day in court. Well, with all due respect, they had their day in court. Not only did they have their day in court, they had an opportunity at a second day in court. Instead, they decided to engage in mediation and ultimately settle this case. They do not now get to go back, undo that decision. Now, Mr. Kenny Walker gave a brief overview of the case, but I do want to touch on a couple of things. As I mentioned, this case has a bit of a long history. This incident occurred back in 2001. Mr. Lowell-Strand received a series of medical treatment, vocational rehabilitation. His medical expenses were paid by the appellants. He engaged in vocational rehabilitation and ultimately obtained a college degree. Once that all occurred, he decided and tried to work. He found that he couldn't and decided to seek a determination that he was permanently and totally disabled. He was granted that decision in 2011 in the original court award. Now, there is a series of appeals based on procedural issues with the retirement of the original judge assigned to the case, ultimately leading to a reversal by the Nebraska Supreme Court remanding the case for a new trial. That all occurred. The parties continued to litigate the case, engaged in a day of mediation, and decided to settle this case. They agreed on an amount to unsettled indemnity, will agree to leave medical open. After that, they filed an application for a lump sum settlement with the court, which was later approved approximately 1 month later. As Mr. Kenny Walker said, it did close indemnity benefits. However, it also addressed medical in this case. It expressly said that medical will remain open until the parties can agree to a Medicare set-aside in this case. Until then, the appellant would be responsible for future hospital, medical, and miscellaneous expenses incurred by Mr. Lowell-Strand as a result of this incident. And Mr. Kenny Walker goes through several arguments in this case, and I'll try to touch on each of them a little bit briefly. First one is that there was a binding order in this case. Although the 2011 award was vacated in this case, the court ultimately did issue an order in 2016 approving settlement in this matter. As Mr. Kenny Walker noted, they would have to show that that was procured by fraud. The appellants have made no demonstration or presented no evidence that that is the case. As such, that binding order approving settlement in this case is binding, conclusive, and final on all these parties. From there, Mr. Kenny Walker went into whether or not the trial court erred in disallowing his client to withdraw admissions in this case. As he noted, the court does have the discretion to do so in two situations. One, when allowing the court to withdraw those admissions would preserve and promote the presentation of the case on its merits, and two, when the party who obtains the admissions would not be prejudiced in maintaining or defending their action on the merits of that case. Neither prong can be met in this case. First off, allowing the appellants to withdraw their admissions would not promote the presentation of this case on its merits. As I mentioned earlier, the only issue remaining in front of this case is whether or not our client is entitled to future medical. That medical benefits and whether or not he's entitled to those benefits is not based on whether or not this incident is compensable. It's simply whether or not those expenses are reasonable and are they related to the September 5, 2001 incident that has ultimately led to this argument this morning. That is simply all we need to prove. Compensability is irrelevant and does not calculate into that decision. Further, the appellee would be severely prejudiced if these admissions are allowed to be withdrawn. As Mr. Kenny Walker noted, this case began September 5, 2001, almost 20 years ago at this point. Litigation began in 2019, that's about 12 years ago. These admissions were made in 2010, now almost 11 years ago. Parties engaged in mediation settled the case. Now, 3 years after settlement, the appellants want to withdraw their admissions. If that occurs, then Mr. Lowellstrand is going to be forced to try to collect and present new evidence on an issue that he has never had to address before. There's no telling what kind of witnesses or evidence may, at this point, be available to present this case on the merits if these admissions are withdrawn. Appellant then next tries to state the lump sum settlement did not determine compensability. I believe the application and the order are both in the record, and specifically paragraph 4 of that application states that there is a reasonable controversy as to the nature and extent of Mr. Lowellstrand's disability. It does not state that compensability was ever an issue, so it certainly could be read that the application states that compensability was determined. In the alternative, ultimately with the issues that are in front of the court at this time, it doesn't matter. The application states the appellants are responsible for future reasonable hospital, medical, and miscellaneous expenses related to this incident. That's it. They don't need to prove this incident was compensable. And in fact, it was never an issue until these admissions were asked to be withdrawn 3 years after the fact.
Ms. Forsgren, if I can, I'd like to jump ahead to some of the other issues that haven't been argued here this morning, but were raised in the appellant's brief, and that is the issue of allowing additional time for your client to gather more foundation for the actual medical bills that were, which I think mostly were prescriptions, that were submitted at the time of that first hearing. What's your response to that issue? I mean, was the court correct, or should the court just held your client to all of its foundational requirements at that time?
Sure, Your Honors. And it's the appellee's position that the court was correct to allow us the additional time to collect those records. 48-162 within the Nebraska Workers' Compensation Act expressly allows the Nebraska Workers' Compensation Court to collect payroll records, medical records, x-rays, photographs, books, other documents it may need to determine the rights of the parties before it for a matter pending before that court. And that's exactly what Judge Fitzgerald asked for in this case. He simply said, Mr. Lowellstrand, I need additional medical records to determine whether or not you are entitled to payment of these benefits. Go and give me those records. And he did so. He presented them at a subsequent hearing, and Judge Fitzgerald made a determination that he was entitled to payment of his benefits. Simple as that.
Thank you.
And after that argument, I believe Appellant's next argument is that the judge should have recused himself in this case. It's Appellant's position that the judge should not need to recuse himself in this case. There is no demonstration in this record of any sort of bias, prejudice, or a conflict of interest against any of the parties, any of the attorneys, any of the witnesses in this case. All the judge simply did was say, I need more information. The appellant's position is that by asking for more information, the trial court indicated that it was going to rule in our client's favor. As you read the record, it did not. It simply was a request for more information, which they are expressly allowed to request by statute passed by the legislature. And that's simply what occurred in this case. So, Your Honor's really we've heard a lot of different arguments, a lot of different issues in this case. What this case ultimately comes down to is whether or not the appellants need to comply with the settlement agreement they reached with our client in 2016. And the answer is, yes, they do. As I mentioned earlier, that settlement agreement specifically stated that they will pay a lump sum of cash in order to settle the indemnity portion in this case. Medical was then left to be remained open unless and until the parties reach a Medicare set-aside agreement, in this case, that has been approved by CMS. Until that occurs, the appellants are responsible for future reasonable related medical expenses related to this incident. And that is simply what Mr. Lowell-Strand is asking for in this case, is to have the appellants pay those medical expenses and affirm the decision of the Workers' Compensation Court were to grant a payment of those expenses. If that's not allowed in this case, then it certainly creates a position of, I believe, as Judge Hardeburn had insinuated earlier, could you then go back later and try to undo an agreement or undo a decision in litigation, whether it's compensation or whatever it may be? And that's simply what could occur in this case. If the appellants are allowed to change their position and essentially go back and relitigate this case from day one, then are we going to be able to settle a case in this future? No, we're not going to be able to, because parties can't be sure in a case like this where an application is entered whether or not the other party is going to hold that agreement a year later, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years later. And that is simply what Mr. Lowell-Strand is asking for today, is to have the appellants uphold to the agreement that they made to him now almost 5 years ago. And with that, if there are any further questions, I'd be happy to take them at this time.
Any questions? All right. Thank you, Ms. Forsman.
Thank you, Sam.
I believe the appellant had used all of their time.
That's
and so the case will be taken under submission. Thank you, counsel, for your arguments. You are excused. We are adjourned.